Hey, you guys, welcome back to Tell Me Why You're Special with your favorite podcast host, Brandon Lynette. You guys, this is the arena. If you've heard an episode, you already know that I don't ease into anything. There's not really a warm up. We're not doing the polished version of someone's story. We're kind of straight to the thing that actually matters because that is the only version of a conversation worth having. And today I'm sitting across from someone who works in a space that I think is one of the most important and most underfunded conversations that's happening right now, and it's men's mental health. And before anybody checks out, I mean, this is probably the show where I have the biggest demographic of men, but ladies, this is the point. I want you to stay. It's not what you think it is, and this is something you can share with your guys. Bring them in. You guys listen together, okay? But I think this is a courageous frontier, one of the most in the human experience. And my guest today has lived that from the inside out. He built something, he coaches, he uses science to back it up. But more than any of that, he wore a mask for a long time and he knows exactly what it costs to keep it on. Okay. That's all I'm going to tell you of his story because I want you guys to hear from him. So, George Harp, thank you so much for being on Tell Me Why You're Special.
Well, Brandon, I just wanted to start off by thanking you for having me on the show. I'm really excited to have a conversation, and as you said, I think it's a I believe it's a really, really a really, really important conversation. And why I'm special? I wouldn't say I'm special, but I was the guy who was in corporate for 18 years, and I was the guy that looked confident, that I was the guy that was always reliable, and all of those sorts of things. You can depend on George, he can do that. I'd get promoted. And over the course of my career, my corporate career, right, on the outside, I looked like I had it all together. But underneath, I had this, and a lot of people have this, the silent voice that goes in their head, am I enough? And that voice followed me throughout my career. And I'd be like, I would be in conversations with people at work. It could be boardrooms, casual catch-ups, and I'd be present, but I'd also not be present. And what that means is part of my attention was always about how am I coming across? Don't come across as being unsure. Don't be vulnerable. Don't make a mistake. Don't mess up. And all those sorts of things were just going on constant and constant and constant all the thing all the time. And I yeah, as I said, it was like that for the majority of my career. And I'd get promotions. I'd get opportunities. All those things were coming my way, but I'd have a burst of validation for a few minutes, and like I'd feel good, and then that silent ache underneath would always pop up. When's this going to feel enough? When's this going to feel enough? And that was my story in corporate for a very long time. And and I just kept wanting more. I wanted more because I thought confidence would come when you'd achieve more. But the more I did, right, like it confidence never came. And what I realized, and I kept pushing, and I kept pushing, and when I kept pushing, my body kept pushing back. And I'd had really bad gut health, and I was feeling depressed, I was sad, it was impacting my relationship, and all those sorts of things were going on the more I pushed. And it came, it was the turning point was one night, and I remember this quite clearly. And it wasn't dramatic, and it wasn't nothing. I was just sitting in my bed, and I was looking up at the ceiling, and I had this pressure, like felt this pressure, like someone was sitting on me. And I was looking up at the ceiling, and I was sitting there, and I was thinking, I was kind of frustrated and also embarrassed, because on paper my life looked spectacular. I had a good career. I wasn't failing on the outside. I had all these opportunities. I was the stronger, I was the reliable guy. But inside, that pain had built so much. And I realized that I wasn't tired from working hard, right? I was tired from pretending, from rehearsing confidence, from being the guy that was always dependable and holding things in. And in that moment, I said to myself, I can't keep surviving my life because I could build a life good on paper. And I was building a life good, which looked fantastic on paper. But that pain inside was so strong. And I said to myself, I remember saying, I can't keep, surviving my life. And that was the turning point. And, I'd achieved a lot in my career. But the one thing I had to do was to rebuild and rewire my nervous system. And I'm someone who was into my personal development. And, I surrounded myself with mentors and, into my personal development. And I surrounded myself, proximity with the very best people, with the very best tools, strategies, and processes. And I, through a process, and it wasn't overnight, it was a process that happens consistently, that you do consistently, rewired my nervous system. And that's why I'm here today. And the one thing I realized throughout all of this, confidence doesn't come after you achieve more, right? Confidence comes when you have a strong identity. Right. And you live from that identity. Confidence comes from clarity, right? Not when you achieve more, because you can achieve more, and you can achieve more. And I'm sure all the audience, we've all been through this. We achieve things, and that adrenaline, that dopamine hit lasts for a moment, right? Real confidence comes when you've got a really strong identity, and when you live from alignment. And why I'm special, and I want to say I'm special. I've been in corporate for 18 years, and mental health is rampant these days, right? And so many people are struggling, so many men are struggling, and so many men are, carrying that silent pressure, the need to provide, the need to not show, to be the one that's going to provide, not show weakness, all those sorts of things. And it's a silent pressure that a lot of men are carrying. And my mission now is to help as many men as possible remember who they were before the world told them who to be, right? And also running one day, one of the things I also do in addition to my one-on-one coaching is for everyday Australians, running one day events when I could get people into a room where it's not just motivation, right? It's an immersive experience where I could give them tools, strategies, and processes, and we do things in the moment, and they get results. And then I give them tools, strategies, and processes so they could use every single day to improve the quality of their life, to improve their mental well-being, to move further and faster in life. Because my ideal outcome is when I'm working with clients, and when I do work with clients, some of them, a lot of them like to renew, because it's more than just a transformation. It's having someone in your corner that's going to support you, that's going to motivate you, that's going to give you, a friendly kick up the butt side when you're not doing the work. But my ideal outcome is to not have clients and people relying on me. It's giving them the tools, teaching them the tool, demonstrating the tool, doing it together so they could feel it, so they could get it experienced. And then they've got the tools to make the change in their life. I'm not the one that makes the change. I will take a bit of credit, so supporting them and giving them the tools. But they're the ones that make the change, because they're the ones that use the tools. And that's what kind of makes me special. As I said, I love helping people, and I love giving people things to do and tools and strategies so they don't rely on me. And that's why I think I'm a bit special, because I'm really passionate about all of this and what I'm doing now. And over the next, God knows, my next 20, 30 years, however long I live, this is my vision now. I'm building something. I'm going to build something special. And that's why I'm here.
No, I absolutely think you're special, and I think that the market that you have chosen is important. The work that you're doing is important because there is so much pressure, and especially with everything else going on. So not only just the pressure inside your family, but then everything going on in the world. And like we have access to knowing too much stuff, right? Like in all of that, every little thing, every single thing that's happening in society just keeps getting packed on, and at some point you just feel hopeless and helpless. And you guys are coded, like your DNA is like, that's just how you work. You can't change your programming as a man. So I think more men need to come together and be able to be in that space. But the thing that's incredible is that you lived it. You didn't just come out here and decide to pick up this job. Like, you went through it. You went through the reality of like realizing you're wearing the mask. And that's what I think is incredible, because people can relate to that. And so I commend the work that you're doing. Now, you're a dual elite neuroencoding specialist. Can you break that down? Because first of all, I've never heard that term. So I don't know if maybe I'm special there in that I've never heard the term, but can you break it down for us? Like, what does it mean, to
Yeah, not a problem at all. A dual elite. I basically have a specific set of skills, and I could help people program themselves to default to their thoughts, emotions, and behaviors. And what that basically means, in a nutshell, it's identifying those thoughts, emotions, feelings, behaviors that do not serve people,
right.
right? And interrupting and removing those behaviors and replacing them with something different which serves them, right? And conditioning it so it becomes automatic. And I'm going to, say it differently. I'm going to give you an example. If someone is in corporate, right, and they've got this imposter syndrome and it's impacting their ability to, to progress up the ladder and all those sorts of things, it's, what is holding them back? It's an unresourceful thought, emotion. And it's mitigating that, it's giving them tools, strategies, and processes to reduce and eliminate that and replacing it with something which is more positive, a new belief, and then conditioning it. And we do, and so it becomes automatic. And we do this through the very best tools grounded in neuroscience, because ultimately everything comes down, and I'm not going to spend a lot of time, but how we function as human beings is very simple. And I'm going to, cut it down very shortly, but everyone will understand it. It's think, feel, do, have. Whatever you think is going to cause you to feel a certain way, and whatever you feel is going to cause you to do something in a certain way. Whatever you do is going to produce a result. And if you're thinking negative thoughts, unresourceful, if you don't have a strong identity, if you've got self-doubt and all of those sorts of things, it's going to cause your heart to feel that way. When your heart feels that way, you're not going to perform. And if you don't perform, you're not going to get the results that you want. On the flip side, if you're someone who's got a strong belief, a strong identity, is optimistic, you're going to feel better about yourself, you are going to perform better, and you're going to get better results. But it's not only thinking those thoughts are also telling your brain, making your brain tell your body to release certain chemicals. So when you're angry, when you're frustrated, when you've got trauma, when you've got all those sorts of things, your body is releasing cortisol, adrenaline, all those chemicals which aren't great for your body. When you're optimistic, when you're happy, when you've got a strong identity, you're releasing dopamine, oxytocin, serotonin, all the chemicals which make your body feel good, and you've got more electricity running through your body. And all your thoughts are, it just basically the words, and this is the neuroscience, they're the words and pictures that you're making in your mind. And they basically come from your memories, and that you create beliefs. And everyone's got positive beliefs, they've got negative beliefs. The three main beliefs, and I want everyone to understand this, the three main beliefs that are going on in your mind, and I call this your psychology. The three main beliefs are, what do I think about myself? What do I think about other people? And what do I think about the world around me? And the number one belief that will determine how far you go in your life, how successful you be in your life, what you have and what you don't have in your life, is about the belief about yourself, how you describe yourself and your opinion. And most people have an average or negative belief about themselves. And that's what I do. And my work is around getting people to think differently about themselves and what they're capable, by specific processes in neuroscience to help them do that. Because when I get them to do that, that's when life changes. They're going to feel a lot differently. They're going to perform differently, and they're going to get better results. And it's also working with them. How do we introduce some more, energy and vitality in your life? Because these days, a lot of people lack energy, and they don't. And right, so it's not only the mindset works; it's health and well-being. And when you combine those together, and you get this thing right up here, I promise you that that's when life changes.
For sure. And I mean, you're talking about people being tired. It's because they're not being who they're meant to be. Like they're performing. Like you said, they're putting on the mask and they're people pleasing and, you know, they're serving everybody but themselves. And so I totally get what you're doing now. It's making sense because I'm a nerd when it comes to the brain and neuroplasticity. And this is a real thing that not enough people are taking advantage of. Like everyone thinks they're just stuck. They're just stuck in whatever has been created in their mind. And that's the default mode network. And breaking that pattern is the greatest thing you're ever going to do for your life, and being able to rewire, like you get to choose the stories. I think what you're doing is so amazing. I love it. And you know, this is what makes your work different. You're not asking men just to think positive. You're not saying push through. Like you're saying the brain itself has to change, and you're helping them with their identity to be more of who they are. There's nothing more I respect in the world than that. Like that is my mission, to get people to step into their potential and be the most of you. Everyone asks me all the time, like, how do you do everything you do? Well, I don't pretend I'm someone else. That's 90% of the exhaustion that you're feeling is because you're just not who you're meant to be. But like you're saying, the brain itself has to change. What cycles of fear and self-sabotage are you seeing, like most men that you work with? And what does it take to actually break that story? Like, is there a common thing that you see just click where they finally unplug from the ingrained path?
Well, everything you said there was spot on. You hit the nail on the head. I love that. And one of the things I just wanted to touch on very quickly is you're right. We are hardwired. Our brain is hardwired. And we need to interrupt and break those patterns and replace them with something which is more resourceful, right? Because a lot of people try to change. They try to change their habits by trying to do something differently. But the challenge is if you don't get to the root cause of the problem, it's always going to come back, which is what, right? So that's where the neuroscience comes in, because there's no point putting something else new, right? Or beliefs of if you don't address the existing problem, because you're not going to resolve it. So I think you were spot on. And a lot of the men that I deal with, a lot of the challenges are just about beliefs about themselves, that they're not enough. And that's what it ultimately comes down to, whether it be in corporate, they've got imposter syndrome and they don't feel enough, or people got, and they're the sorts of things that crop up. And they're the things that happen to everyone, male and female. And it's just, as you said, it's getting to the root cause of the challenge, breaking it. Because you get it, your brain's wired. Everything you do, whether it be a pattern of emotion or be pattern of behavior, you do it as a result of doing it before. You've been conditioned to tie your shoelaces the way you do, to drive the way you do, to eat the way you do, to think about yourself the way you do, to believe those things about yourself that hold you back. All of those things, it's conditioning. You've done it. And you need to rewire the brain by interrupting those patterns, replacing them, and doing things consistently every single day to rewire that brain. It doesn't happen overnight. There's no magic cure. I promise there's no. If anyone tells you there's a one-stop therapy where they could cure you in one day, it ain't going to happen. And if you've got someone, please introduce me to them, because I'd love to know their strategies. I've got the very best tools, strategies, which are better than your traditional coaching. But even with those tools, they have to be done every day to condition yourself. They're easy, they're simple, right? They're enjoyable. They may seem a bit silly at times, but what I tell my clients is, what's sillier, right? Not doing, do, so doing something that may look silly and give you the result, or not doing something because it may look silly and not getting you the result. Of course, it's always the latter. So, but as I said, go back, the tools and strategies and processes, they're not hard, they're simple. Some of them are so incredibly simple. I've been in sessions and I've told people certain strategies, and I reckon I've had conversations where I genuinely believe they're probably thinking, I've paid this guy all this money and he's telling me to do this, and he's telling me to do this, and he's telling me to smile and do this every morning. 2, 3 weeks down the track, they're having conversations with me. That technique was so incredibly life-changing. It's helped me so much because it's the simple things that are going to get people, the simple strategies and tools that are going to get people the result. And my ideal outcome is always to give people simple things to do, because when I give them simple things to do, they're going to do those things. If you give th if you make things If you make things complicated for people, and you make things hard for people, and you give them hard things to do, they're not going to do it. So, yeah. So that's yeah. But back to your question, it's that self-doubt, it's that imposter syndrome, the fear that I'm not enough. They're the things that are cropping up quite a bit when I'm working with men, and they're the things that I kind of really, really focus on. Because, and it all comes down really to identity, identity, their belief about themselves. Because if I could change that, I could change everything.
And the minute you guys, if you're listening, it's really that just awareness of realizing that programming, like the people in your head are the people that raised you, the people around you, like most everything that you think right now is someone else's thoughts and someone else's decision. And the minute you unplug from that, you start to realize, wait, do I like this? It's very simple of like just thinking, what do you really like at your core? What are your core values and ethics? I love that so much. I want to get personal with you for a second. You rewired your own mind using this science, but rewiring doesn't mean that you don't still have hard days. What does George Harb struggle with now after all this work that is there to remind you that you're still human and you're in the arena?
I am so glad that you put that forward, because I'll start by saying this. Is George Harb human? Yes. Does George Harb still have emotional challenge? Yes. Does George still have breakdowns? Yes. I'm human. We're human. It's going to happen to all of us. And I'll say there is no fearless people. Everyone in
Everyone.
the world has fear. It shows up. We are designed, right? The way we're designed, fear is going to crop up. But there are people that fear less. And what that means, there are people that spend less time in those unresourceful emotions. And they're able to default to a place of optimism, a place of options that I'm going to be okay. This is going to be okay. This is what I'm going to do. And I still get unresourceful, but I've conditioned myself where I'm not spending long in those states. And the way the processes work, there are times where I catch myself going into an unresourceful state, and I say to myself, George, you caught yourself. That's amazing. I celebrate it, because celebration is the key to people's success. One of the most important things, Brandon, that I teach is the importance of celebration, because celebration is the thing that's going to help you move further and faster. Celebration is the thing that's going to help you achieve your dreams, goals, and desires. And awareness, when I catch myself, when I catch myself doing silly things, I don't beat myself up, which most people do. I praise myself, and I do funny things, and I praise myself, because what basically happens, this is the brain science. Your brain says, what just happened? You caught yourself, George, and it links pleasure to that. And what basically happens when you do it over and over again, that becomes your default, and you keep doing it. And the ideal outcome is to spend less time in those unresourceful emotions. We're always going to have fear. We're always going to stress. We're always going to have those emotional challenges. No one's perfect, but it's about minimizing it and being able to have tools, strategies, and processes where you can default pretty quickly back to a place of certainty. So I hope that explains it. So
No,
I'm
that
not
is.
perfect. Only yesterday I had a bit of a challenge, but I was able to snap myself and refocus. What do I want, George? Well, okay, this is the truth. This is what I need to do. What am I going to do? And I did that, and I celebrated it, and I moved on. I got on with my day, and that's what it's all about. Default, reducing less time in those unresourceful, emotions, those limiting, but all those sorts of things. That's the aim of the game.
And no, I mean, I have a neurospicy brain and I get caught in that like freeze in the freeze frame. And now I'm getting to where I like catch myself a lot faster where I mean, I'm literally, you guys, you know this about me. It would be months of just frozen and like, what am I doing? I'm not creating. My heart's not in the podcast. Like, what's happening? So a couple weeks ago, I hit, it was like day three and I don't know what made me realize. And I'm like, whoa. You're in your freeze state. 3 days I caught myself and I've never been happier. I'm like, girl, I hope you love that couch rot 3 days. Like, I'm so proud of you for catching this. And it's that celebration does everything because when I start to get overwhelmed, it's like, okay, it's not that big a deal. Like, what's the next right thing to do? You don't think about the whole list when you catch yourself in that moment. It's the pat yourself on the back and it's very simple. What is the one next right thing to do? Write an email, make a phone call. I don't know. I don't know what it is for you, but I'm saying it's just that one next right thing when you catch it's I love the process. I love the work you're doing. If there's a man listening to this right now, let's say maybe he's in his car, maybe he's at the gym. Where are you guys at? You're gonna have to leave the comment and let me know where you guys listen to this at, right? Maybe he's sitting in a house full of people just feeling completely alone, and he's never said this out loud to another human being that he's not okay. What would you say directly to him because you've been him? What does he need to hear right now for him to do the next right thing? Oh, I lost your sound. You're muted, darling.
Yeah, can you hear me now?
Yep, I sure can.
Yeah, the best piece of advice I would say is leadership starts with awareness, right? And awareness is key. And then having the courage to speak to someone and get some help is the best decision that you can do in your life because that is leadership, right? That's probably the best bit of advice because it's, you know, it's never too late. There's this saying, it's never too late to have a happy childhood. You can't change what happened in the past,
Yeah.
right? But you can change how you feel about it, and you can change who you are, and you can change the trajectory of your life. So wherever someone is, you know, that is like wherever you are, you are. You know, what's happened in the past is happened in the past. If bad things have happened to you, that happened to you. If you're not feeling great about yourself, you know, we can't deny that, you know, but what can happen if you make a decision to seek help, if you make a decision to speak to someone, if you make a decision to invest in your personal development, right? I know, hand on heart, that awareness and that decision, that leadership you show there in the moment is the decision that will change the trajectory of your life. And it is a decision that's going to make you happier in life. It's a decision that's going to help you know, achieve the things that you want in your life. It's a thing that's going to help you move further and faster. Awareness and making a decision. You know, that's the only way this will work, right? It starts with you. You know, you need to invest in yourself. You need to, you know, believe in yourself. To invest in yourself. And when I say invest, it's not spend money, it's talking to people, getting help, reading books, whatever it is, right? Because you are the creator of your life. You know, lasting change doesn't happen by luck. It happens by design. And that means you being aware of it, right? And saying to yourself, I've had enough, I'm ready to change, and then doing something about it. And when you make those decisions, that's when everything changes.
Yeah. Like literally you're a decision away from changing everything, one decision away.
Correct.
George,
Correct.
tell us where people can find you, how they can work with you, help them get resourced. I do have everything linked in the show notes, but we'll just in case someone's driving, how can they find you?
Yeah, so as you said, you can drop my details to the viewers, but also, you know, you can find me on my website. I've got social media presence too. I've got you know, LinkedIn, Instagram, Facebook, you know, I'm always putting things on, teaching tips, content, all those sorts of things. So if you've got any questions or you want to have a conversation, reach out. If I'm not the right person for you, even just, you know, sign up to my social media. There's a lot of content there. Just stay connected. And as I said, if you're going through those challenges, the one bit of coaching that I could give you right now, right, that's invaluable. Right. If you're going through a tough spot, own it, be a leader, get some help, because that's going to change your life. That's the number one bit of coaching that I could give everyone. On my social media, as I said, reach out if you've got any questions. And that's how they could find me.
Perfect. George, here's what I want you to know. What makes you special is not the credentials, it's not the neuroscience, it's not even the coaching, as powerful as hell as all of that is. What makes you special is that you were willing to take the mask off in public. You were willing to say, I was suffering behind a face that looked like success, and I'm not going to let other men die behind that same silence. That is not a career choice. That is a calling, and I do not take lightly what it costs to answer it. The work you're doing, breaking the cycles, unplugging from the DMN, rewriting stories, reaching men who have been told their whole lives that needing help is a weakness, that work saves lives. Not metaphorically, I know literally. And I'm really grateful that you are in the arena doing it. And I'm so glad you came on the show today. You guys, to everyone listening, and I mean everyone because the show is for you, I need you to hear this clearly. Tell me why your special exists because I believe in your story. I believe that your story matters, not the cleaned up version, not the version you post about on your socials. I'm saying the real one, the one that you've been carrying quietly, the one that you're carrying alone, wondering if it's too much, too messy, or too dark for anyone to understand. I'm telling you right now, it's not. Your mess is your message. And George just proved that. The mask, the almost breaking, the rewiring, the rebuilding, every single piece of that becomes the very thing that he's using to reach men who are right where he used to be. That is not a coincidence. That is a purpose. That is a God-given calling. And so, whoever you are, wherever you are in your story right now, stop waiting to have it figured out before you open your mouth. Stop sitting on the thing that you think disqualifies you. That thing, that's the door. That's how the right people find you. Go find George. Book his discovery call. Let someone who has walked through it walk with you. The links are in the show notes. And then come back here because I will keep showing up in this arena week after week, pulling the real stories out of the light where they belong. And I will see you in the arena. Thank you so much, George. This was fabulous.
Yeah, two things before I go. One, thank you for the opportunity to be on your podcast. I look forward to be on a future episode. Number two, you made the process so seamless, so enjoyable. So I just wanted to say you are super, super awesome, and I love what you're doing in terms of, bringing this to the surface so we can have these conversations because it's really, really important. So, you are playing a critical part in this process to help make, an impact. So I just wanted to thank you for the opportunity. Thank you for being a great interviewer, and you seem like an awesome person, and I look forward to joining one of your future sessions.
For sure. Thank you so much, George.